99.
That's
how old Abram was when God reminded him. It's a little conversation they'd had 24 years earlier. This wasn't the first time this had happened. You will be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. That's what God said. Can you imagine getting a promise and then waiting 24 years and it still hadn't come true? The waiting wasn't easy for Abram. 24 years of waiting might make anyone doubt that it was ever going to happen. And during those 24 years, guess what Abram did? He was perfect. He did everything right. Raise your hand if you believe that. He was not perfect. He did wait. He and Sarai, they traveled. And this was not vacation traveling. This wasn't retirement traveling, although at 74, you'd expect he'd be going on retirement traveling. But no, this was journey traveling. And on the journey, there were many steps. Let me tell you about one of them. Abram gave his wife away as his sister to Pharaoh in Egypt. He said to Pharaoh, "You can have her as your wife. She's my sister." Abram got lots of stuff for doing that. Lots of money, lots of supplies. But then Pharaoh found out that Abram had lied about Sarai. So Pharaoh said, "Take her away. I'm giving her back." And that sounds really offensive nowadays. But that's what Pharaoh said. "I'm giving her back, and you can keep all the stuff." So Abram, who just gave away his wife and said that it wasn't his wife, it was his sister, he came out okay in that. He lied, and he got all his stuff. Really good object lesson from the Bible, right? Not one of Abram's finer moments, however. But by the time he was 99, you would expect that he was mature enough not to do something like that again. He had learned his lesson, except he got away with it, and he did it again. Just once. After the events of today's reading, now it's Abraham. He told King Abimelech that Sarah, the changed name Sarah, was his sister, and the king took her as his wife. And in the end, guess what? Abram and Sarah were back together, and he had lots of stuff. Same thing happened again. Not another good object lesson from the Bible, but it's in the Bible, and we have to pay attention to everything that's in the Bible. So Abram and Sarai, Abraham and Sarah, they were by no means perfect. Two really good examples right there. They were really imperfect people, but they were trying. I know they were trying sometimes, but they were trying to do their best. At 99, Abram had many times where he got it right and many times where he didn't. Here's another episode in Abram's life, without judgment on this one, about 13 years early, Abram and Sarai, they were sure that this, "You'll be the ancestor of a multitude of nations," was not going to happen because there were no ancestors being created. And so Sarai said, "All right, here's Hagar. She is my slave girl." Another offensive part to read about in the Bible. "Why don't you have a baby with her?" And so Abram did. We learned about this in Sunday school. I don't know how we got it through in Sunday school, but remember, Ishmael was born. You know who Ishmael is? You've heard of Ishmael. And through whatever happened on this imperfect journey, God was faithful. God said, "I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." Now, everlasting says it right there. I will establish this everlasting covenant. It doesn't mean if you do everything right or if your ancestors agree with you or with me. It means God said, "I will be with you and your ancestors forever, no matter what." That's the very notion of everlasting, right? Max, did you notice that we skipped stuff in the middle? Yeah. In the Bible reading today? Because you had to go to a different page there. Did all of you have your Bibles open? Because you always do that, right? You always open your Bible. There's some skipped verses in there. Some other parts of the story that you don't get to read. It's the circumcision verses. And look, we've got Sunday school kids in here today, and I'm using a big word you'll have to explain later. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land where you now are an alien, in the land of Canaan, for a perpetual holding, and I will be their God, God said to Abraham. As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. That's the part that we're missing. And probably when the people were putting together this list of readings that we would do in church, if we followed the list of readings that we're supposed to do in church, if we follow that list, they were like, this is distracting from the story. It's distracting from the, I'm going to be with you forever. But it is part of the story. And you know what? It is not a how to keep people out part of the story. That's the way it sounds right away. But if you know more of the story, see, keeping people out doesn't fit with this whole narrative of the Bible. The whole narrative of the Bible goes like this. God creates something. It is good. And then humanity does something. They mess up. And then God does something good again. And then humanity messes up. And then God does something good. And what does humanity do? They mess up. We are really good at our part. And God is really good at God's part. So God creates, humanity messes up. God finds a way to make things good. Egyptian and Canaanite males, they were circumcised. But for them, it happened at puberty. So it wasn't something that didn't happen. Ishmael, Abraham's first son, or Abram's first son at that point, he was circumcised at puberty. But infant circumcision, this was something new. And now we've got, you know, all kinds of medical stuff we talk about with it. But infant circumcision was a sign that a person wasn't just someone to reproduce other people, but valuable no matter what, from infancy, from childhood. And later, in the life of Israel, circumcision was very important to them in exile. They were cut off from their identity, but they also remembered that the cutting of the covenant, this cutting language, is there for a purpose. It's through something that wasn't visible on the outside. They were connected. So this part of the story isn't about keeping people out. It's about the value of every person. That's what it was for. So if ever someone takes a symbol or an action meant to be inclusive or empowering of people who were excluded or powerless, and then turns it into something that excludes or makes a person or group of people powerless, they miss out on what God is about. It's important to remember the overall narrative of the Bible and to read Scripture through that lens. It's also important to measure everything that we read in the Bible through those two most important rules that were spoken of in the Old Testament and spoken of by Jesus in the New Testament. Love God, love everyone. That's the lens. There are stories that don't always fit there, but we've got to have that lens. God said, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. Abraham's first son, Ishmael, had 12 sons. They settled in the lands between Egypt and Assyria, the land commonly known as Arabia. And Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, considered himself to be a descendant of Ishmael, as do the people of Arabia today. In fact, both Jewish and Islamic traditions consider Ishmael as the ancestor of the Arab people. So Muslim believers worship Allah, and Allah is simply the Arabic word for God. So Christians who are speaking Arabic worship Allah. God's promise to Ishmael's father, Abraham, applies to all of his descendants. This everlasting covenant doesn't just go one direction. It goes to all of Abraham's descendants. And then Isaac, Abraham's son with Sarah, is considered the ancestor of the Hebrew people, of Israel. And God's promise to Isaac's father, Abraham, applies to all of Isaac's descendants. And then Sarah died before Abraham did. And Abraham remarried. He had 6 children with Keturah. Abraham's children with Keturah. They don't fit neatly into any religious or ethnic description, but some were considered enemies of Israel and would have been considered by the name Gentile, because they were not of Israel. And one of Abraham and Keturah's son was Midian. The Midianites and the Hebrews became enemies and they fought each other. But later, Moses, y'all know who Moses is. Moses, as a shepherd, married Zipporah, a Midianite. It all just starts coming together. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. So Abraham and Sarah, they are lifted up as symbols of faith and patience. And they were imperfect. Many would say they were deeply flawed, but they were and are important to the story of God's unconditional and continuing love for all of humanity. And we've got three historically linked religions. We've got these religions always fighting with each other, right? Judaism, Islam, Christianity. Three biblically linked religions still fighting with each other. Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. But when we read the Bible and find out about the story, we can have hope. We must have hope for greater respect and conversations with our cousins. And then here we are today. The perfect pastoral candidate. And the perfect congregation. No. Okay, an imperfect person as a candidate and an imperfect congregation ready to call a new pastor. And the promise that God made to Abraham is present here. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. So, will we be the perfect pastor and the perfect congregation going forward? Someone's going to shout amen, yes, and the rest of us are going to go like, well, no, we're going to try. What we will be, what we are people seeking to live out the mission of our congregation. Right from our papers, right from our website. In response to God's love in Jesus Christ, we seek a right relationship with God and other people through service in a caring community of fellowship, acceptance, and inspiration. So let's do that together. And let's move forward in our faith, trusting in the covenant, this covenant, the one that God calls everlasting. Amen.